This is tape number DR12 of the research study Ribbons of Memories, an American Scandinavian Ethnic Heritage Oral History Program. The interviewers are Edward F. Sundberg and Gerda Sundberg. It is the 22nd day of August 1978. We are interviewing in the Copenhagen area.
Would you please give us your full name?
My name is Paul Einar Gertsen Wickman.
Gertsen Wickman. Yeah. Is that two last names, really?
Yeah.
Is there a story behind that?
Oh, yes, there is. My family comes from Sweden. That's where I have the Gertsen and the Wickman. I'm born in Copenhagen.
You're born in Copenhagen?
Yes.
Would you mind telling us when you were born?
I was born in the 2nd of January 1911 and left here in Copenhagen by my mother, who started back to Sweden.
Well then, who did you live with?
For a few years in a home for children, and then I was not adopted, but taken into the home of a Salvation Army officer.
You are now a pastor of a Danish church. Was it that original experience with the Salvation Army that turned you to the feeling that you must serve God and humanity? Does that have anything to do?
Yes, I think it had quite a bit to do with it. My mother, as I called her, the officer in the Salvation Army, she was a very devout Christian. But she did this to me, that she thought that as long as she has got me this way, she would not try to force me into Salvation Army in any way. She very seldom took me along to the meetings. She told me about the church. She didn't go there herself. But when I was to be confirmed or came to that age, she asked me if I cared to go to confirmation class, and I did. And I went, and I liked the church very much. And for her, it was quite all right that I went into the church work instead of the Salvation Army.
What kind of schooling did you have as a little boy?
Well, first I went to school in Copenhagen, and then we left and went out to the country, close to Faaborg on the island of Fyn, and we stayed there out in the country in a little home. My mother wasn't absolutely not well to do, and she couldn't afford to keep me in school. I would like very much to take more education, but there wasn't money for that. So when I was 14, I decided that I would like to go into the dry goods business as an apprentice, in the hope that by the time I finished the apprenticeship, I would be able to make so much money that in a few years' time I could start studying, and after 2 or 3 years study, enter the University of Copenhagen. That didn't turn out the way I thought, because the depression came, and when I finished my apprenticeship in 29, I had to find a job and applied for 70 different positions before I finally got one, and I only received 105 crowns a month, which meant that there was no possibility at all for me to study. I worked and worked late in the evenings, and couldn't put nothing aside. So I decided that I wanted to quit this work and try something else was a man in Aarhus that told me that if I would go to the United States, then I could perhaps earn my way through, as he said, and start studying over there and perhaps finish in America.
Were you then already intending to go into church work?
Yes, I think it was from I was about 14 years old that I decided I wanted to go in.
It was not just any kind of education, it was a specific...
I wanted to become a minister. And this man in Aarhus had come home from India. He was a missionary. He was sick and came back to Denmark, and of course he wanted me to, or asked me if I cared to get an education and go to out to India, go out as a missionary. But already at that time I thought, well, I want to become a pastor in the Danish church. Well, after he talked to me about America, he only said a few times, then I decided that I would go to Reisebüro, what do you say?
A travel bureau
mm-hmm. and find out about my possibilities. And they told me it would take about 8 years to go into the States. It was such a long list. But of course I had no time for that. So they said, well, you can go into Canada as soon as you pay the money for the fare. You can always go in as an immigrant to Canada. And I thought, but okay, Canada is north of the United States. I didn't know the Canada very much, but at least I knew that. I thought then I can always jump into the United States from Canada. So I went to Canada.
I wanted to just interrupt. When this man in Aarhus mentioned that you should go to the United States, just how much did you know about the United States at that time?
Very, very little. Mm-hmm. Of course, I had learned a little in history about America, but it was very, very little I knew.
And your reaction may have been what when he first mentioned this?
Oh, I was ready to go.
Well, then can we ask you, as you decided to go to Canada, how did you get the money to go?
Well, I wrote to my mother and told her that I would like to go over, and I knew, of course, that she didn't have much money. But she did have a little chicken farm, and she wrote back, well, you can have the money and go. And of course I told her then I would be back soon. In a few years' time, then I'm sure I'll be back. But it took 7 years in Canada before I came back.
Did you see your mother before you left?
Oh, yes.
And now, she was willing for you to go, but what was it like those last few days before you took off?
I knew it was hard for her, but for me it was a great adventure, and I was looking forward to all these experiences, and when I think back, I know that she had quite a bit to do with it, because when I was a small girl at home, she would be telling me a lot of things from other countries, and reading stories for me, and she really had put a lot of ideas into my head about seeing the world, and we had talked about how I should travel and so on. So there I started. It was hard for her to say goodbye, but she wanted the best for me, and she thought it was good. She told me afterwards, when I told about her about my experiences in Canada, the hardships that I had been through, she said, well, if I had known that, I would never have let you go.
How did your friends, your comrades, feel about you leaving?
Well, I think they were rather perplexed. There was one good friend that I had that wanted to go along, but in the last minute he gave up. He couldn't decide for it anyway. It had been a help in my pleading with my mother about Canada, that we would be two that went together, but he stayed at home, and And I didn't want to stop. I thought, well, now I started, I want to go on. And I couldn't speak a word of English. But I came in, I told my mother that I'd like to say goodbye at home. You can walk down with me to the station, but I don't want to see you in Copenhagen standing at the pier. That should be the last. So we said goodbye in Hostrup, Sydfyn, and I came into Copenhagen. And I may tell this, that when I passed the Royal Seal in Copenhagen that evening, I saw the red lights, but still I went in. I had never been inside, and I thought I should see that before I went to America. So I was told that if I would wait, maybe there would be a place for me. And I got a very, very good place, and I saw...
Elverhøj?
No. I just can't remember now.
And we've just been talking about the play that you saw that night, and you have remembered the name of it after describing the plot.
Yes, it was, Flowermouse?
The Fledermaus.
The Fledermaus, yes. I saw that, and the whole royal family was at the theater that night, and the theater was full. It was a very, very beautiful evening, a fine farewell to Denmark.
And what boat did you sail on?
I sailed with Frederik den 8. When we paid the ticket in Odense, my mother went with me to Odense and bought the ticket. We were told that if I would pay 20 crown extra, I could go on the second class, not the third class, and that it would be so much better. So of course I paid the 20 crowns extra and came on board of Frederik den 8. And it was just like a floating hotel. I thought it would be right for me to be on that class, because after all I've been a die good slime, I had my good clothes, and I thought it'd be nice to have a real holiday, and it was. However, on the trip, a man that stayed in the same class came over and told me that he had a number of immigrants down in third class. And he understood I was an immigrant too. So if I cared to come along, he would give a talk to this immigrant. That was author Niels Andersen Susted. I think he must have received maybe 50 crowns a head for all those that he had taken over to Canada. I went with him on third class, and he jumped up on the table and called all the Danes together. There wasn't a comfort on the third class as we had in the second. But the Danish gathered, there was a lot of other people from Poland and Czechoslovakia and so on, didn't understand the language. But he gathered the Danes and told them, are you willing to do any kind of work? He asked them, yes, they were. What are you? Are you a farmer? No, he wasn't. He was a blacksmith. Well, do you know the difference between a horse and a cow? Oh, yes. Well, okay, then you are a farmer. Now when you come out on a farm and anything happens to the tractor or any other machinery, just call in under, then the farmer thinks you'll know a lot about it. So you'll do all right in America. That's the way he talked to them. He told them how he could make $10-$15 a day on a farm. And that was in the Depression year, 1930, that we went over, just when the Depression really started.
Mm-hmm.
What was the place that you stopped in the New World? What was the first place you got off?
Halifax.
Halifax.
Yes. We came to Halifax, and that was the end of being a tourist. We were herded in like like cattle. These immigrant officers, they chased us into a big hall. There was a big hallway in the middle, and many rooms on each side, and about 50 people in one room, 50 people in another room. We were divided up in groups, and when we came into the room, the door was locked and we couldn't get out. And one of those immigrants that had been there before said, well, now we just have to sit down on the floor. It may take 3 or 4 hours, but then the doctors will come. We are going to be examined. They don't want any sick people into the country. And finally the doctor came and ordered all the clothes off. And there we stood stark naked and marched past him. And he just gave us a look, and then we were allowed to go through and get our clothes on again. And then we heard it down underneath this hall, and it turned out to be the station. There was a train, an immigrant train, and we boarded the train. We were told that we would have to be there for about 5 days. It would take 5 days to get to Winnipeg, because this train had to stop for all other traffic. But we were also told that they would look after us. Men came on with big baskets, or big paper baskets with food, and said to us that we had to pay $2 each. All had to pay $2 each, and then we get food. When we looked at it after we had bought it, there was a half a loaf of bread and a sardine tin, no opener, and a little bit of butter. Maybe there was for 50 cent worth of goods in the basket.
So you sort of got taken right off the bat.
You mentioned that you knew no English. How did you learn?
Well, I learned the natural way, as children do, when they are born and they hear a language. I came to the farm, I didn't hear anything but English. So I learned by listening to the sounds, and they would, the first meal I had on the farm, there was a young fellow, a son of the farmer, who pointed, he said, bread, and I said bread, and he said knife, and I said knife, and he said fork, and I looked at this little thing, and can gaffle in Danish, if you call that a fork, I can say that too, and butter, and so on, and after he had pointed at it a few times, he would point at it and I should answer what it was. And that was really my first lesson. After we had eaten, they showed me a big stack of wood outside the house and gave me a big axe, and I understood that language. So I stood there for 14 days cutting wood. That gave some muscles, because of course I was I didn't have much muscle. I had been in the dry goods business, so I think the farmer felt he was rather cheated when he saw me. But I grew muscles.
Could you tell us the nationality of the people that you went to live with, and then a little bit about that life, and then the next 6-7 years?
Yes. Perhaps I should say that my tickets, I guess, was for Winnipeg in Canada.
Oh, yes.
And when I came to Winnipeg, there was a Danish pastor who came to meet all the Danish immigrants and took us up to a Danish boarding house and told us that now we should stay 2 or 3 weeks. We should get our names in the office, the immigration office, and then we were all guaranteed jobs. But we had to stay there 2 or 3 weeks. I only had $25 in my pocket. That was the money we should have in order to get into the country. So I thought, well, two or three weeks, I can't afford that. I want to go right away. And some of the people said, well, you can't leave today, and you can't get a job, but you should stay in town. You can learn a little English. And I said to myself, well, I won't learn any English as long as I'm together with other Danish people. So I took my suitcase and walked off and found the station again and the immigration office, and came in there and said to them, I want a job right away. No, 2 or 3 weeks it will take. We told you that, and how will you find back to the Danish home? It was silly of me to come there. So I sat down for an hour, and for every hour I went to the desk and asked for a job, and finally got tired up and said, well, here's a telegram for a man that wants a farmhand. doesn't say how much you'll pay. You'll take that? Yes. I said, okay. And it so happened that in an hour's time, the train left from Winnipeg, and I sat in this train on my way to the first job. And then I got scared. I said, well, what did I do? I should have stayed. It would have been so much better to stay with the others and learn a little English. It was foolish of me to go. The conductor came in, and we couldn't talk together, so he put a little note in my hat so he could see where he should put me off. And I wonder, shall I sit here 2 or 3 days? Again, as I had been sitting in the train on my way from Halifax. But a couple of hours later, train stopped and he pushed me off. And there was a man at the station. He looked at the paper and pointed out over the farm land, and I could see an old fort coming in towards the station. And he pointed down at my suitcase, and I understood I should just sit down and wait till this car came. A young man jumped out of the car and looked at the paper and took me along. And we went into a store in town. That is, he went into the store, I sat out in the car. And he must have said he had one of these green immigrants that couldn't speak the language and didn't know anything about it, because of the storekeeper and his wife and the children came out and they called the neighbors, and soon people were flocking around the car, looking at the labels on my suitcase, and very, very interesting. I thought, well, I mean, just like being to a market, but I didn't feel very good. It was me they were talking about. But finally they came out to the farm. And it's sure to be that it's an Englishman, an old Englishman that had been in the country all his life almost. He had this farm and he had about 360 acres of land, and he rented just as much. So it was quite a big farm to work on, and I started out there. First, I had to learn to milk, and none of the farmhands on the farm, there were two sons in the old farmer, they didn't care to milk. So after 3 days, when I had been sitting there trying to milk, they would do the rest of it. But after 3 days, they just left, and I sat there for an hour or so, and I was milking the third or the fourth cow when the farmer came in and looked at me and laughed. And then he opened for the calves, and they jumped into the cows and they could do the milking. They sucked the cows and that was taken care of. But after a month's time, I could milk, and they certainly didn't want the calf to come in and take the milk. Then we separated the cream and sent it off. We had a pail for the cream. We went down into the well, and we would take it up twice a day for 3 or 4 or 5 days till the can was filled. And then they would send it off, so it wasn't just the first class cream or butter that they'd make out of that.
Yeah.
During this time, were you able to have any kind of schooling or further your education in any way, or was it just purely work?
And no, the only schooling I got was that when we started plowing in the spring, shortly after I came, I was given 5 horses the first day, the next day 2 more, and the third day 2 more again. So I had 9 horses, and the land was flat. There was nothing, no difficulty in driving. I just had to haul out the horses in order to get them going, and it was quite an experience. I felt quite good about it. You should see a diskenspringer, as we call them, the clerks in Denmark. You see a clerk driving horses now. 9 horses I had, and it all went fine. But I had to sing for them, otherwise they wouldn't go. And I sang all the Danish songs that I could sing, and when I got tired of that, I whistled, and I either had to sing or whistle for them all day long. And then one evening the farmer came with his violin and said, well, you were singing this one. I didn't know what he was talking about, but when I heard the tune, I began to sing in Danish. So quite a few evenings we would sing together. He would tie different tunes and we would sing.
So it was not all unpleasant, even though the work was hard.
No, it wasn't. It was just very interesting. I was very proud when they, after a month's time, gave me a horse and told me that was to be my horse. I should ride out after the cat or after the working horses. And it was a wonderful experience. The blood just ran down my legs when I came back. I rode bareback, and when the sores was just about hard enough, they were softened up again, because then they sent me out on another ride.
Now, we eventually want to get you to the United States, and we know that you came back to Denmark.
Oh, yes. I stayed in Canada 7 years. I worked first on farm, and then I took homestead in Ontario, worked in the woods, sawing wood for the paper mills, and then I also started a store in Port Arthur, Ontario, a grain store, and after that I worked on the farms, I worked many places, digging wells, painting houses, many kinds of things, in order to make money enough to study. After I've been in Canada for 3 years, I started high school, and I would work in the summertime 4 months at all different kinds of jobs, and in the wintertime I would go to high school. And that I did out in West Canada, and finally took my examination so I could go to university. And I went up to Edmonton and worked as a janitor. At one of the university buildings, and studied at the same time. And as a janitor, this was in 1937, I made so much money that I decided now it was time to go home, because after all, I wanted to get a Danish education. I was offered by the president of university in Edmonton free study training for in theology, but of course that was not a Lutheran church that was offering that to me. It was a Reformed Canadian church. So I decided to go back to Denmark and came back in the fall of 1937.
And that's where you got your education,
then I started to become a pastor. Then I gave lectures many places in Denmark in order to make a little money to get the start in Copenhagen. And after that I would tutor well-to-do people's children that couldn't manage very well in mathematics or in Latin. So I made a little money on that, and I finally became the headmaster, you might say, in the YMCA boarding house in Copenhagen. And that was a good job, because then I had plenty of time to study. So I studied in Denmark.
And you got your degree then in theology in
Denmark? Well, that's another story. I didn't actually get the degree, because the Second World War came and I got so involved in that, and I was taken prisoner and was in concentration camp, and I came back after the war, and I was given a job in YMCA as secretary. And at that time, several people, also some of the professors and one of the bishops, gave me a good
recommendation,
and because at that time I wanted to go to America and become a pastor there, so I went over there.
What was it that made you feel that maybe your work should be in the United States rather than in Denmark? Was there any particular reason?
There certainly was. It